Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
This is Matt Miller with John Pester for our one and only life study from the minor prophet Zephaniah. Welcome back to the studio, John.
It's good to be here, Matt.
John, Zephaniah speaks of Christ being the King of Israel in her midst in the restoration which is coming. So that time in the future will be a great salvation to Israel, but for the last 2,000 years, his salvation has mostly been to the Gentiles. How does this fit in with the central thought in the book of Zephaniah?
Well, Matt, you're correct that for approximately the last 2,000 years, this is a time that is generally known as the time of the Gentiles, where God's salvation in Christ has been extended and is reaching throughout the world, reaching all of the Gentiles, in contradistinction to his salvation coming to the nation of Israel itself. Because of the nation of Israel's rejection of the Lord's salvation was extended to the Gentiles. But there is coming a time when the times of the Gentiles have been fulfilled, when God's salvation will again be centered in on the nation of Israel. And so what Zephaniah shows really is a marvelous picture of God's economy in his salvation, how God accomplishes his desire that all men would be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. He has used the events in the history of the nation of Israel and the events in the history of the Gentiles to extend and make his salvation available both to Jews and to Gentiles. And there will come a time when salvation is complete both with the Gentiles and with the Jews, and that will be a great time of singing and rejoicing, and as you indicate, a time in which the nation of Israel will not see evil again because the Lord has returned.
This has got to be a great verse and a great promise to the Jews today to read that they will not see evil again because they've seen so much evil over the past, haven't they?
There has definitely been judgment, but there is salvation.
And that judgment has mostly come through the nations. The Lord has used the nations. We've covered this a lot in the Minor Prophets up to now. He's used the nations to carry out his chastisement on Israel, and they went a little too far, so then he has a judgment on the nations.
That is correct.
But the judgment is not the end of it. That's why in Zephaniah we see the central thought is really you see his judgment on both Israel and the nations, and as a result, you also see his salvation to Israel and the nations.
Judgment is for the purpose of salvation.
But I want to be clear, there are some Jews who are saved today and in the church, but the majority of the Jewish nation of Israel will experience God's salvation when the Lord comes back.
That is correct. God's salvation, his salvation efforts, and his move in his economy in this age is focused in on the Gentiles, but it does extend to some Jews. There will come a time, however, when God's salvation efforts are focused on the nation of Israel. And that's at the time when the Lord returns. And so it's a matter of focus and emphasis in the heart of God at this point. This is the time of Gentiles because God is extending his salvation throughout the world to all those that he has chosen. But there will come a time when he will refocus his energy and effort and attention and tender care on the nation of Israel to bring those Jews into an understanding and an appreciation of his economy and salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, John, today's program focuses a lot on that time of restoration when the Lord comes back. And to me, at least, there was a particularly enlightening point that we're going to cover toward the end of our program about him changing the language of the people. But before we go to that, let me give an opening verse here, which summarizes God's judgment on the nation. And then I'll read these verses and we'll go to Witness Lee. It's Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. This will they have for their pride, for they reproached and magnified themselves against the people of Jehovah of hosts. Jehovah will be terrible to them, for he will make all the gods of the earth vanish, and all the coastlands of the nations will worship him, each from his own place. So that's God's judgment on the nations. Then here's a verse, two verses summarizing God's judgment on Israel. This is Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Woe to the rebellious and defiled one, to the oppressing city. She has not listened to the voice. She has not taken the correction. She has not trusted in Jehovah. She has not drawn near to her God. Let's go to Witness Lee now for today's life study from Zephaniah.
Well, in Zephaniah, I would say the revelation is the most simple one. Probably in studying the 66 books, no one is so simple, showing us two things of God. What two things? Number one, God's judgment, and number two, God's salvation. God judges and God saves. He judges not only the nations, but also Israel. And he saves not only Israel, but also the nations. His judgment is universal, and his salvation is also universal. Now, the central thought, Jehovah is the judging and saving God, both to Israel and to the nations. These issues in his reigning among Israel, and in Israel singing and rejoicing in their restoration. Later on we will see this. The revelation concerning Christ, only one item, in his being the king of Israel in the midst of her in the restoration. In the restoration of Israel, Christ will be the king among them. Jehovah's salvation to the Gentiles and to Israel. Judgment is on Israel first, but salvation is to the nations first. God firstly judged his own people, then he judges the nations. But in salvation, God comes to the nations first, leaving Israel at a far distance. This is the age of the salvation of God going to Gentiles, and all the Jews are left behind. I feel sorry for this, but this is God's economy.
John, let's stop right here and review Zephaniah a little bit. Witness Lee just said that this is probably the simplest revelation of any book in the Bible. It seems like this simple book, okay, is just about God's judgment and God's salvation. So how does God's salvation relate to God's judgment here in Zephaniah?
I think there's a very good verse that we could look at in the New Testament where Paul says that God desires that all men would be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. Within God's heart, before man even sinned, before man even fell, there was a desire within God's heart that man would be saved. And this salvation is not a salvation from sin. It's a salvation in God's life. God desired that all men would be saved to the uttermost in his life. And he created man in such a way that man could receive his life into his human spirit. And so God has this desire that all men would enjoy him, partake of him, experience him, and this is the hope of our calling. This is the goal of our salvation. But man fell, and man fell short of God's glory. Man fell short of God's righteousness. But because God still has this desire deep within his being for all men, Jews and Gentiles, no matter where you come from on the spectrum of sin, God still has this desire for you. There is the need for judgment. God has to come in and judge, and he has to expose the weaknesses, the faults, the things that separate man from God, which is sin itself. And he has to expose that with judgment. God comes in and judges for the purpose of saving. God is not just an angry God. He's not just a God who wants to beat people down because they've done something wrong. A lot of people have this thought about God, that God is just a judging God, and they reject him for this very reason. They say, how can a God just have this desire to punish people? This is not the kind of God that I want. but they don't have the realization that God's judgment is for the purpose of his salvation. He judges to expose you, to turn you, to open you, to make you a person who realizes, I have a need greater than myself, which is God himself. And so God's judgment is for his salvation. God's judgment, properly received, properly administered and understood in the minds of the person that it's being administered to, opens that person to God's salvation, and they turn to the Lord and they open to the Lord and they realize how big of a heart God really does have. Our God desires that all men would be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth.
John, that's a great verse. That's 1 Timothy 2:4, that God desires all men to be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. His desire is not judgment.
Right.
I think it breaks God's heart that he has to judge. His heart is to save. You know, we did a program the other day on Habakkuk with Bob Danker, and he applied a verse from the New Testament as well. In fact, he used the whole book of Romans as a picture of the same thing, that in the beginning of Romans, everyone is under God's judgment because of sin.
Right.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but the goal is not to judge everyone. The goal is to bring them to salvation.
And this is a marvelous reflection of God's heart toward man. It's how God accomplishes his original desire and intention that man would be in his image and have his dominion on the earth, which means that God desires that man would fully express him, not express anything other than God himself. And in order to do that, he has to come in and judge all of the foreign elements in our being.
John, I'm going to go on here. Let me read a couple verses in chapter 1. This is Zephaniah chapter 1, 7 through 9. Be silent before the Lord Jehovah, for the day of Jehovah is near. For Jehovah has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated those whom he has called. And in the day of the sacrifice of Jehovah, I will punish the princes and the sons of the king and all who wear the clothing of foreigners. And in that day I will punish all who leap over the threshold, who fill their master's house with violence and deceit. Let's return to Witness Lee.
Jehovah has prepared Jerusalem with its princes, the sons of the kings. Here says God prepared Jerusalem. I will ask you, this preparation is negative or positive? If you read on, you know it is altogether negative. God prepared Jerusalem to be judged, to be smashed as a sacrifice. Offered to whom? Offered to Babylonians, the sons of the king, all who wear the clothing of foreigners. Strange. They were Jews. They were children of Israel, but they wear the clothing of foreigners. That is a kind of an insult to God. And all those who do violence and deceit. Violence means to rob people with a kind of force. And deceit means deceiving people. God prepared Jerusalem as his sacrifice and will call the Chaldeans, whom he has sanctified, to come to eat his sacrifice. Tell me, who is the sacrifice now? Yeah, the Jews. The Jews now became sacrifices prepared by God for the Babylonians by plundering the wells of Jerusalem and desolating the houses and vineyards in Jerusalem. God prepared the whole country of Israel as a kind of sacrifice to offer them to the Babylonians. Let the Babylonians enjoy them. Actually, that enjoyment is their destruction.
John, let's stop here and talk a little bit about this strange picture in Zephaniah, that according to Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 7, God is making Israel a sacrifice to the invading armies of the Babylonians, whom he has called for this purpose. What can we learn today from this writing that was about in 630 BC? That was the time of Zephaniah's writing, which was just before Israel was invaded by the Babylonians in 605 BC.
Well, in reading over these verses, I was really struck with one point. Abraham was called out of Ur of Chaldees, and he was called and separated by God, and out of Abraham, the nation of Israel was formed to be sanctified and holy to God. And then the expression that Zephaniah uses is that they're wearing the clothing of foreigners, which means their outward expression, everything about the Jews at the time of Zephaniah was an expression of something foreign. They had completely forsaken their testimony as God's people. And in response to that, God brings the armies of Chaldee in to come in and execute his judgment on them. It seems like such a warning to us about how close we really are to our past. Peter talks about the dog returning to his vomit. I believe that there's something in this that can be spoken to us, that we're not very far from our past. We're not too distant from, even though we have received the Lord, turned to the Lord, it's possible for us to return to the things of the past to the point that God has to come in and execute judgment on us. And this is what happened to the nation of Israel. They completely forsook their testimony. And as a result, God brought in the armies of Chaldee and Babylon to come in and execute his judgment on them. It's a very serious warning about where we are in our present testimony of the Lord.
Well, this should cause us to be very sober. John, much of Zephaniah is dealing with God's judgment on the nations and on Israel, but I'm very thankful that at the end, there's a positive turn at the end of Zephaniah. And in chapter 3, verse 9, it talks about his salvation to both the nations and Israel. I'd like to read Zephaniah 3, 9. "For then I will change the language of the peoples into a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of Jehovah to serve him with one accord." Let's go back to Witness Lee for the conclusion of today's life study.
In God's salvation on the nations, God will change their language. I feel it is very, very meaningful. Do you know, when you change the language, you get the people off from the culture. The culture is wrapped with the language. So God is wise. I don't think I can find out some hint in the Old Testament that God will do this kind of change in the future. But only here it says, for then, when? The restoration time. I will change the language of the peoples into a pure language. Some language today is dirty. And I was told by people, I tell you, all the junior hires, they have their dirty language. Have you got to know this? But when they turn to us, the papa and mom and grandfathers and so forth, they talk in our pure language. They have two kind languages. So I do believe there is a need of the change of the language. You can imagine, in God's salvation, God had to do one thing, to change people's language. Because when your language changes, it means you have been thoroughly saved.
John, Zephaniah 3:9 is a very unique reference to language in the Bible, indicating that God's salvation changes the language of the people. Witness Lee gave the example of the dirty language of junior high kids. Since you've actually had some experience teaching junior high classes, I'd like you to comment particularly on this change of language and how it relates to God's salvation.
Well, this matter of God's salvation changing the language of the people is a very significant point. The language that we speak comes out of the motivations of our heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So our language is a reflection of what's in our heart. And what's in our heart is a composition of the culture that we live in. And I believe Witness Lee is absolutely correct on this point. We're often people of two languages. And he uses the example of junior high students, and I see it every day, that there is a language that the kids use to address me. It's very proper. It's very focused. But when they get off to themselves, they speak in a dirty language. It's somewhat disheartening because you realize that there's these two languages. And when I say dirty language, I mean they just use coarse words, often profane words that have become so common that they don't even have a sense that they're profane. But the kids have these two languages, and so it shows that there's something different in their heart than what I see when they're talking with me. And I realize that that indicates that there's a need for training, in a sense, proper judgment that will allow these kids to have a purified language so that they will experience and enjoy the salvation of the Lord. I'm just really touched that the pure language that Zephaniah speaks of is related to calling on the name of the Lord. It says they will call upon the name of the Lord in a pure language. And so I was reminded of the verse in 2 Timothy where it says, especially to young people, it says, flee youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. When we have a pure heart, what comes out of our heart, what comes out of our mouth is a language that glorifies the Lord, that turns to the Lord, that honors the Lord, that even calls on the Lord's name. To call on the name of the Lord is not a small thing in the Old Testament. It's not a small thing in the New Testament. It is related to the kind of person we are, the kind of culture that we live in, the kind of perspective that we have. Oh, to be a people that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. How do you get a pure heart? Actually, the way you get a pure heart is by calling on the name of the Lord. Because when we call on the name of the Lord in our daily living, maybe we have a thought. When we just turn to the Lord at that time and say, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord, I need you. That act of calling on the name of the Lord, contacting the living person of the Lord Jesus by calling on his name purifies our heart, purifies our mind, purifies our language. And as a result of that, purification of the language and purification of the kind of a spiritual, quote, quote, culture that we live in. When the spiritual environment is purified, the issue of that is one accord. I just appreciated that point as well, one accord. Certainly all of the children of Israel and the Jews that were judged, they were seeking their own things. And as a result, judgment came in. But when they turned and their language was purified by the Lord, when they were given a pure language, there was one accord. And this is a strong sign of the salvation of the Lord. What is a strong sign, a strong indication that you're experiencing and enjoying the salvation of the Lord? It's that you have the capacity to be at one accord with all of your brothers and sisters. There's nothing that hinders you. There's not barriers between you and your brothers. By calling on the name of the Lord, by purifying the things that are within our heart, all of a sudden the spontaneous issue of that is a kind of one accord with all of our fellow believers.
Well, our time's up. Thank you very much for being with us. This is Matt Miller. Thanks for joining us today on Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee.